You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking New York Mets with MLB.com's Mets beat reporter Anthony DiComo. We get to cheat a little bit here because I'm talking to you after Hall of Fame results came out. Mets got some good news in Pedro Martinez getting in and a little bit of disappointment in Mike Piazza not getting in, but it seems like at this point there's an awful lot of momentum for Piazza. I know you don't talk to all the voters, but do you get the impression that we're probably now at this point only a year away from seeing Mike Piazza a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, so, I mean, certainly max 2 years, but I think he'll probably get in next year. This was a very strong ballot, which you know, hurt him because a lot of voters maxed out their ballots this year. And, you know, not everyone perhaps who wanted to vote for Piazza did. But, you know, you see a lot of the guys that played in this era, their vote totals are going up every year. Piazza's vote totals have gone up, I think, 5% from the first to the second year he was on the ballot, and then another 7% from the second to the third year. So if you get anything close to that, next year he's going to be right around that 75% threshold. It's a very frustrating thing for Mets fans. You can see on Twitter that there's outrage. There's people who watch this guy play and say he's the greatest offensive catcher of all time and it shouldn't have taken this long. But I don't think anyone doubts he will be in and he will be in soon. So the Mets will have their Hall of Famer, and they'll have a Hall of Famer with a Mets cap on its plaque. You know, Piazza said if and when he goes in, that's what he wants to do. So unlike a Pedro Martinez, who is better known elsewhere, you know, Piazza's a guy who Mets fans can really claim as their own once he does get in.
Not to go too far down this path without talking about baseball in 2014 and 15, but you talk about Piazza's offense. Do you think it's also fair to say his defense is undersold? Everybody knows he wasn't a great thrower, but it's my understanding, and it was always my impression, this guy was pretty good at all the other parts of being a defensive catcher.
I mean, it's not like he was a rock behind the plate. If that were the case, I don't think he would have lasted as long at the position as he did. I think it's more just his offense was so overwhelming. You look at what he did and you stack it up against the greatest offensive catchers of all time, the Johnny Benches and the Gary Carters and the Yogi Berras, and he's right there, if not better, you know, than all of those guys. You look at total WAR, wins above replacement, he's above Yogi Berra in some of the measurements. He's right there with Gary Carter. I don't think it's as much that he was a bad defender as that he was an exceptional offensive catcher, you know, at a position where you just don't see that very often. And, you know, his defense just it couldn't keep up. It wasn't nearly at that level. It was maybe average. Some people say below average. Whereas his offense was off the charts. So when you're talking about him as a Hall of Famer, it's almost as if his defense doesn't come into the equation because it wasn't bad enough, you're right, to really discount his chances of doing something special in terms of Hall of Fame. But it just couldn't compete with what he was doing at the plate.
And as for those 2015 Mets, it seems like the biggest question that continues to linger is shortstop, even though I guess as long as they don't do anything, maybe it's not a question, maybe it's an answered question. But has anything changed in the last time we talked? Is Wilmer Flores still penciled or maybe even written in pen as a shortstop, or is there any movement on other options at that position?
Yeah, I don't know if it's pencil. I think, you know, when you first were in school and you started to write with pens, they give you those erasable pens sort of as a crutch. I think it's in maybe erasable pen at this point. It's funny, and I was talking to Sandy Alderson the other day, and he laughed because I said, you know, you said in October that the most likely outcome was going to be Wilmer Flores at shortstop. You said it again in November. You said it again in December. And all along, he's kind of hedged and said that it's probably going to be Wilmer Flores. Yes, we'd like to do X, Y, and Z, but it's probably going to be Wilmer Flores. And that really hasn't changed. The Mets have looked at the free agents who are out there. Most of them are gone now, with the exception of Stephen Drew, who they're not really that high on. And they've certainly talked trade with a number of clubs. They've went down that path of a big fish, such as Troy Tulowitzki. They've looked at smaller deals, you know, maybe something with the Mariners, things like that. But, you know, these teams are wanting more in return than the Mets are willing to give. And in a lot of cases, you know, what they'd be getting back at shortstop is an imperfect return. And so why not try a guy like Wilmer Flores, who's still very young, who works hard, who they love his makeup, and still has a boatload of offensive potential, why not try him over one of these guys who might have more of a track record who they know is flawed? So, again, something could fall into their lap here in January, even early in February, but the most likely outcome remains, as it has all offseason, that Wilmer Flores is the guy.
So beyond that, what is still to be done with this club as we're now 6 weeks away from the start of spring training?
I mean, number one front and center on their agenda is they still have this surplus of six starting pitchers, and they need to trade one of them. That's probably going to happen. You know, the market for a Dylan Gee type of pitcher who is a middle to back end of the rotation, you know, that's the market that teams are starting, who missed out on the top guys, are starting to look at now as we get into January. I think you're going to see that heat up really soon. I think even by the middle to late end of January, you could see Dylan Gee going somewhere else. And the return on that's not going to be, you know, something that Mets fans are going to really get excited about as far as a big piece for the 2015 team. It's more a matter of this is what they need to do. You know, they're going into camp right now on paper with six starters for five spots. You know, Dylan Gee is set to make around $5 million next year, and that's a very expensive bullpen piece if they came into camp with all six. So that's the big thing. In terms of other stuff they're going to add, there's really not a lot. Their bench is pretty much set. Their bullpen is pretty much set. They've got a lot of guys competing for the final one or two spots, but the first four or five are locked down pretty solidly. So really the only major piece that they have to do left this offseason is trade one of those starting pitchers.
So as this club is currently constructed, do you look at a team and look at this team and see a playoff team or at least a serious playoff contender, or are they still a piece or two short?
I see a team that's put themselves in a position now where if everything breaks right, they can make the playoffs and probably will make the playoffs. Now, everything does not always break right for the Mets or for any other team out there. And they're still in a spot where if one or two big things goes wrong, you know, a major injury or a guy who just doesn't have the year that you expect, then they're on that bubble and they might not make it. You know, if David Wright has another down year, that's really going to hamper their chances, and it's going to be hard for them to get in. If Matt Harvey does not come close to being the Matt Harvey that he was 2 years ago, they probably won't make the playoffs. So they put themselves in that sort of bubble position where you can't say that they're kind of a lock in April to get in, but you also can't say that they're a lock not to. They need things to go right. If things go right, they can and will get in. If things go wrong, they probably won't.
This probably is a dumb question, but is the organization, is the front office happy with that? Is that good enough for them? Because they obviously, I don't imagine they have any illusions. I mean, I think they probably have a read on how good this club is. Are they good with that? Is that the next step in the process? I mean, where do they kind of view this on the process of presumably the idea being building a team that's going to be very good for a very long time?
Sure, and that's why they haven't gone out and, you know, spent hundreds of million dollars on free agents. If they wanted to ensure that they could have made the playoffs in 2015, or at least come as close to ensuring as any team can, yeah, they could have gone out and jacked up the payroll. But, you know, they're very interested in this financial flexibility for years to come, and if they had done that for 2015, it would have hampered what they could do for 2016 and beyond. They want to have that flexible payroll going forward, and a lot of people would love for it to be bigger, but right now, you know, that's just not what it's going to be. They've set their numbers. They're going to be around $100 million this year, and so you can argue about it all you want, but that's what the payroll is going to be at. You know, they could have gone out and spent a little more this year at the expense of spending less next year. They don't want to do that. They'd rather have a team that they think can be competitive and as I was discussing before, you know, can break right and make the playoffs for several years, have that window open for a little longer versus one, you know, maybe take one shot and then all of a sudden you have to go back into rebuilding mode again. That's something they're not interested in doing. So are they happy with where the team is at going into 2015? You know, I don't think any team is happy when you can look up and say, well, they're certainly not a lock to make the playoffs, as we just discussed. But I think they're definitely in a much better place than they were a year ago. They're certainly in a better place than they were 3 or 4 years ago. So happy enough, I guess, would be the answer, given all that context.
All right, well, in Anthony DiComo. Thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.